Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Being pregnant while serving in the armed forces has its own special set of challenges. Whether you're in the Navy, Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, or Coast Guard, there are many policies you should be aware of, ideally prior to getting pregnant. But in addition to the challenges, there are also many resources that are available to support both you as the pregnant service member and your growing baby. I'm Lieutenant Commander Carolyn Peacecheck, a Navy Medical Corps OBGYN, and today we're talking about being pregnant while serving in the military. This is Preggy Pals.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit. I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and also those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Annie Laird. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Preggy Pals Club. Our members get special episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. See our website for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Preggy Pals app, which is available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows marketplaces. Now, Samantha, our producer, is going to give us some more information about our virtual panelist program. Take it away, Sam.
Thanks, Annie. So if you don't live in San Diego, but you'd like to be a panelist on our show, you can still participate through our virtual panelist program. Just like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram using hashtag PreggyPals. We'll post questions throughout the week prior to our taping, and we'd love for you to comment so we can incorporate your thoughts into our episode. You can also submit your questions directly to our experts. Learn more about our VP program through the community section on our website, www.preggypals.com.
All right, well, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. My name is Annie Laird. I'm about to turn 36 next week. Occupation, I am a government contractor during the week, and then on the weekends I do Preggy Pals, and this is my last episode here on Preggy Pals.
I'm
I'm gonna miss it a lot, but it'd be really hard to call in from a 10 zone time difference.
Yeah, so tell him why you're not gonna be on the show anymore.
So I'm not gonna be on the show anymore because my husband has just received orders to work at I'm trying to think what the name. I should know this because I'm a Navy veteran myself, but it's like the Navy Central Command. Navy Central Command. So he's going to be working in Bahrain, which if you don't know where that is, it's a little island. It's a group of islands, but it's off the coast of Saudi Arabia. My husband told me it was 109 degrees today.
Is that where he is now?
That's where he is right now.
Oh my goodness.
Which is going to be super awesome for me moving 3 kids and a cat and all of our household goods over to Bahrain. Yeah, that's going to be super awesome. So yeah, I took a class this past week how to do it. At first I thought, oh, I don't want to take a military rotator, one of those open bay planes with like the jump seats on the side.
Oh,
they said, no, with like young kids like I have, it's great because you don't have to be in the seat the whole time. So I can just spread a blanket out for the littles. And they can, and my toddler, she runs around like crazy, so she can run around the plane.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it's other military, active duty military, you know, families and military members that are on these planes. So it's not like I'm going to have some, you know, middle-aged person
right.
be like, why is your 2-year-old acting like a 2-year-old? Well, because she's 2, genius, you know? So yeah, so I'm going to miss it a lot, but yeah, this is my last episode. So we had to get in pregnancy in the military.
Yes,
here,
we did.
While I was still the host. So yeah, and as I alluded to, I have 3 children, all girls. So community hospital for the first one. Second one was a planned home birth. And then we transferred to the hospital, which was a wild ride. 20 minutes later, I had a baby. And then the third one was a planned home birth.
Right. I'm Samantha. I'm the producer of Preggy Pals. I have a 19-month-old Olivia who is currently driving me a little crazy.
But not now. Now
but not yes. This is the easy stage. What are you talking? She's
currently
is she
in
walking?
Life.
Is she walking? Oh, she's walking.
Yeah. When it's silent, that becomes very suspicious.
Yes, suspicious times.
Yeah.
I still found her ripping up dollar bills the other day. I
was like, well, at least it's just dollar bills. I mean,
they could have a couple zeros and then that would be a big problem.
So I was like, Mom, please come get your grandchild. Please come get her. My mom's great. I don't currently have a due date. She was unfortunately an unplanned cesarean, and I'm hoping for a VBAC next time around.
Good.
Hey, everyone. I'm Sunny. I am the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces Preggy Pals, Parent Savers, The Boob Group, and Twin Talks. I'm a mommy of four children, currently under the age of four, two older boys, and a set of identical twin girls. And I'm real excited about today's episode. I hosted Preggy Pals before Annie, and I think I even asked Annie shortly after you were on the show, mm-hmm. just as a panelist. I'm like, I really want to do a show about pregnancy in the military, like being here in San Diego. I thought it'd be such a good topic to explore, and it's not something that I've seen a lot of information out there about, and yeah. I think everyone will just be a little bit curious, even if you're not in the military.
Well, it's interesting, because I was talking to the public affairs folks for the military, getting the approval to do this show, and I said, you know, when I was in the Navy, I think something like this is so needed, because especially with the people in the Navy, a lot of them are young people. A lot of them are of childbearing age, you know what? And they don't go to their crusty old chief to get information about pregnancy.
Yeah.
They go to the internet. Yeah. They use social media. This is how, you know, younger people, women of childbearing age, are finding their information. And so, you know, and that's, as we were talking, saying this is something that we need to get this out here on our iTunes and Windows marketplaces and Android, because this is how women are going to find us.
Right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, we've got a comment from one of our listeners. Anja posted on Facebook, "The best podcast about pregnancy out there. I love listening to one or two episodes when running or walking, and that keeps me motivated to get out. Fighting the cankles. Love it." Thanks, Anja. Today we're talking about pregnancy in the military. Joining us in the studio is Lieutenant Commander Carolyn Peacecheck, a Naval Medical Corps OBGYN serving at the Naval Medical Center of San Diego. She is currently the OB Division Chief and an Assistant Professor at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences. Welcome to Preggy Pals, Carolyn. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Annie.
Wow, that Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences,
they try to make it difficult.
Yeah, they do. It's a tongue twister.
A tongue twister.
So, today we're talking about pregnancy in the military, and as we were talking about beforehand, I think this is a really important topic, because a lot of the younger people, you know, in the military, they're going to find information they're not going to be going and looking in OPNAV instructions. See, you probably don't even know what OPNAV instructions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
You know, they're going to be looking in social media and looking online and Googling and seeing, you know, I'm pregnant. Oops. Mm-hmm. You know,
what do I do now?
Exactly. Well, and I imagine that a lot of pregnancies are unplanned. At least I think they were.
50% are unplanned.
Wow.
Oh. Yes.
So, say a pregnant woman, she's serving in the armed forces, and she, you know, finds either I'm pregnant, or oh, I'm so happy I'm pregnant, or, you know, maybe not. Mm-hmm. But so. You know, what's the first step in seeking prenatal care, and what does she do about that?
So the service member initially should let the healthcare professional that's attached to her command be aware.
Okay.
So every service member will know who that is, and if they don't know, they should just ask the person, their immediate supervisor, and they will let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, they are to get a pregnancy test in the military system. And then within 2 weeks of getting a pregnancy test or knowing they're pregnant, they are supposed to inform their chain of command. So usually it kind of happens all together, but as we all know, a lot of times someone will have a suspicion that they are pregnant. They'll do a home pregnancy test.
Right.
They take 10 more because they don't believe it.
Yeah.
And then they come in and then they tell their chain of command. And so mm-hmm. it should be done within 2 weeks of knowing.
Oh, okay.
And then so, once you get a positive pregnancy test in the military system.
Now, do they do that through via like a blood test or urine?
Just a urine test. Okay. Okay. And so once that urine test is obtained, then they're plugged into the system. So it kind of depends on where they are. As far as, you know, geographically where they are, mm-hmm. which military treatment facility they'll be attached to. But that will be done almost automatically once they've made their chain aware, because there is a designated military treatment facility for every pregnant patient that is active duty.
Oh, okay. All right. So what kind of options do service members have as far as giving birth? Well, where can they give birth?
Mm-hmm. So they...
Not obviously birth in the wild, the new reality show coming up here. No birthing in the wild. That probably would not be approved by the commanding officer. So, yeah.
most members give birth in the hospital at one of the military treatment facilities if that is reasonable considering their geographic location again. Mm-hmm. And generally that can be in group care or that can be in individual care. So the birth would obviously be individual, but
yeah.
the care up to that can be through a group care, like a centering in pregnancy group, which mm-hmm. is essentially a group of 10 to 12 women that see all of their prenatal care together in visits. So the education occurs together. The individual assessment occur in a private area, mm-hmm. But it's nice because it's a long session. There's a lot of, it's not just focused on education, but also on bonding and the shared experience of pregnancy. And so for a lot of active duty members, especially if they're in a new location where they don't have many friends or family, it can be really valuable for formulating those bonds with other people. And yeah. they also have a postpartum reunion as well, which is really fun because mm-hmm. they all bring their kids and they can, you know, meet each other and see each other and then, you know, form lasting relationships. So that's a good option. But actually in the hospital, we have physicians and midwives that will be the ones overseeing the deliveries.
Okay. Yeah. And here on Preggy Pals, we talked about the differences between OBs. We just did an mm-hmm. episode all about, you know, what is a midwife? I think there's misconceptions yeah. about what midwives do. And I mean, and you're an OBGYN. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but I know here where you work at Naval Medical Center San Diego, yeah. that the midwives and the OBs work together.
Yes. And I think most hospitals in the country, they do. So the midwives are advanced practice nurses who have gone through additional training to become midwives. And they are very, very skilled at what they do. They're not trained in things like cesarean sections mm-hmm. or some other complicated pregnancies that just take a little bit a little different of an education. And so they are trained more in certain things and obstetricians are trained more in other things. So it really just depends on the patient, kind of whether or not they're appropriate for a midwife care or whether they're appropriate for obstetric care. So the routine, uncomplicated pregnant patient is well cared for with a midwife or nurse practitioner. And often there'll be a patient that's cared for all through pregnancy and even during labor, and then there'll be something that's noticed, like the pregnancy isn't advanced, or that the labor, I should say, isn't advancing as expected, and then an obstetrician will be consulted by the midwife.
Oh, okay.
So midwives are independent practitioners. We work together with them so that they can consult the obstetric service should they need our additional assistance.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this group centering care. I think what a neat concept. I don't think there's an equivalent of that, as far as I know, in civilian care. It just seems to be most women just, you know, go to their doctor and that's it. But
right. Maybe like the idea of sacred pregnancy, but that's more yeah. like support, not so much in the medical aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many times where I felt like I left the OB's office.
You're like, what did he just say?
Exactly. Or like, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I thought of this question. I think women feed off each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of, oh, well, that's a great question. I wouldn't have even thought to ask that question.
Yeah. It encourages openness, too, and discussion. Because I think a lot of times it can be intimidating in a physician's visit that's only, you know, 15 minutes
yeah.
to really ask all the questions that you have. Like, a lot of times there'll be one question a patient's asked, but they might not ask follow-up questions because they don't want to inconvenience anyone. But when you mm-hmm. have a group discussion and there's all these different people kind of chiming in and you have more time, I mean, these centering visits are longer periods of time. So there's just more time for education and more time for group education, which, you know, most people prior to delivery do not need a medical assessment beyond just routine care.
Blood pressure, weight.
We look at the growth of the baby. We look at the baby's heart rate. So beyond that, it's really education. I mean, a lot of the prenatal visits are screening exams, essentially, in order to isolate those patients that do need more care. But most people don't until the time of delivery.
Right.
And so the prenatal care is obviously very important because it's a way for us to pick out those people that need more care and need more help. Mm-hmm. And to but the focus of prenatal care is mostly education for the patient so that they can we can empower them to best take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Because ultimately the patient is the one that is really in charge of their pregnancy, and we're there just to make sure that there aren't things that a woman couldn't control that we need to help her with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great model. We love that model just because it's very efficient for education and for empowerment of the pregnant woman.
Yeah, and just keeping the pregnancy low risk as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. keeping a low risk, you know, pregnancy and keeping a healthy baby.
Oh, yeah. An educated patient, it will definitely result in a more healthy pregnancy.
And
and a more healthy baby. And, you know, and that's, you know, our job mostly, I think, with antepartum care is to provide that education. And it's very effectively, it's effectively delivered in both settings with a individual provider and in group care. So it's just, it's nice because then the patient is able to kind of determine what works better for her.
Right. Now, I want to talk about ultrasounds. I know the big ultrasound normally is around like 20 weeks. But as far as military health care, what is covered for ultrasounds? What do women normally get?
So if you're a routine patient that has no additional health problems that have been identified, then you get your dating ultrasound, which is one that we do early, whereas that's to promote the best identification of the due date. So the earlier you get an ultrasound, the more accurate it is as far as determining when your due date is, because, and that makes sense kind of, because the closer you are to conception, the more likely the growth of the baby is going to be because of how old the baby is versus other factors like genetic factors.
How much ice cream you've been eating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the earlier, the better for that. And then the second one, so all we do at that first ultrasound essentially is just making sure that the dating is confirmed. And then later when we do the 18 to 20 week ultrasound, the anatomy scan, that's when we can see the anatomy well and we can determine if there are other abnormalities that are identified at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and then obviously if they're, you know, most women, that's all they need.
Yeah.
But there are definitely women, a good percentage of women that are identified as higher risk. And so they have reason to get further ultrasounds and will identify it at whatever point is appropriate whenever they become complicated.
What would be a reason for like high risk? That you would get more ultrasounds or more ultrasounds would be needed.
So a woman that had things like high blood pressure. So if a woman had chronic high blood pressure, they are at increased risk of the baby not growing appropriately. And so that is one particular patient in which we would do actual serial growth scans.
Okay.
So they're generally just more complicated pre-existing medical conditions would flag that need for further evaluation.
Oh, okay. Now, what kind of resources are available as far as workshops or childbirth education? We talked about centering care, but is there any other kind of resources that pregnant women in the military can go to learn how to become a parent?
Or? So many resources. It's very dependent on the particular military treatment facility, but I know at Navy Medical Center San Diego, we have more than 30 classes that are targeted to education both prior to and after delivery. So that's everything from just, we have a course that's the ABCs of pregnancy. So it talks about everything from budget planning for the baby to learning how to cook healthy meals for yourself and for your child after birth, to breastfeeding help, to just kind of family balance and regaining that family balance now with the addition of a child. There are classes that are focus more on fitness, and so that and there are ones that are a one-time class. There's also group classes that that carry on or go on at at certain intervals, and they're meant to be with the same group, so you guys learn different tools that can help you being a new mom together. Mm-hmm. And there's also classes for siblings. So there's a silly siblings class, which is just to try to get the siblings excited about the idea of having a new baby brother or baby sister. So there's a multitude. And there's even resources that can come out to the active duty member's home after mm-hmm. delivery to help with specific things if they're having a difficult time.
Oh, that's good, especially for postpartum depression.
Oh, yeah, for a lot of things. And there are resources for everything. There's also a lot of breastfeeding resources, and that's a particular focus right now. The DOD is kind of trying to best facilitate our breastfeeding amongst active duty members, because it can be very challenging, especially when coming back to work. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do things to help that. And there already are established many resources, but we're trying to kind of establish more. So it's a warm line, which essentially is a breastfeeding, it's a phone number that you can call to get into contact with a lactation consultant.
Oh, great.
That you can just pick up the phone and call and have those questions answered, so that can be more convenient sometimes than coming into the hospital.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when it's 2 a.m, there's not a lot of people you can talk to.
Yeah.
You know, so what is the you know, husband or the father of the baby know about breastfeeding? Probably not a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Other than the fact that he can't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Here, have a bottle, hon. You know, exactly. It's what we don't want to have happen. So, yeah. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be discussing the day-to-day of military life and how being pregnant affects that and your job in the military. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today, we're discussing pregnancy in the military. Lieutenant Commander Carolyn Peacecheck is our expert. Now, let me go back to it. Something we were talking about before the break, which was breastfeeding in the military. I wanted to bring up that our other show, our sister show, The Boob Group, did a whole episode on breastfeeding in the military. So great for your baby. And if you want to learn more about that, go to the website for The Boob Group and go to the episode page and check out that episode. Carolyn, so what kind of restrictions do pregnant service members have as far as the work environment? Obviously, you know, being in the military, you can be working in a hazardous work environment, but that's not real great for baby.
Oh, so. Absolutely not. Yeah. So initially, when you are pregnant, there is kind of a checklist that's obtained in your work environment to make sure that there aren't any exposures that are hazardous. And if there are, then you're immediately excluded from being have any kind of contact with those exposures. Those are honestly quite rare anyway. Mm-hmm. But that is something that is evaluated actually on a patient per patient basis. And then there are just certain other things. So when it comes to, there's usually a physical physical readiness program that the service members need to participate in. But when you're pregnant, you're exempt from that. So you do not need to participate in that program. However, you are recommended to continue your own individual fitness program.
Yeah, so I was going to ask that for like command fitness, PT. Like,
so you are not required to do the program. So whatever the physical readiness program is that is being instituted at your command, you're not required to do that. So you don't have to do testing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do you don't have to get weighed when it comes to that time of the year when we do those kind of
getting
things.
Getting weighed enough pregnant at your prenatal appointment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Don't need any more. Yeah. But you are expected to have an individualized exercise program just to promote health and wellness of you and your baby in general.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that you're kind of, I said, in a way, exempt from. And then there's also some restrictions that occur once you're 28 weeks. So once you're 28 weeks, you can, if the command supports it, you can get restricted to 40-hour work weeks.
Mm, okay.
So that's kind of the standard, mm-hmm. is the 40-hour work week. But there definitely are certain people in the military, such as physicians, that are exempt from that. Mm-hmm. So they don't get the 40-hour work restriction unless there's a medical need for that.
Right.
And in addition, there's also limits on the amount of time that a patient that's pregnant can stand at parade rest or any kind of configuration because of, obviously, the limitations of pregnancy and how people can become dizzy easier. And
You don't want to be in a formation standing for like 3 hours or
exactly.
something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there are other restrictions.
Okay.
I had a question when it comes to maternity leave and also mm-hmm. paternity leave. Mm-hmm. Like, what does the military say about that? What mm-hmm. kind of leave do they give?
Mm-hmm. So maternity leave right now is 42 days of convalescent leave when you leave the hospital postpartum. So that's when it starts.
You know what's so great about that? I didn't realize when I left the Navy what a good deal that was. Because I just took for granted, like, oh, like, I get It's basically 6 weeks.
And it's paid.
Yeah, it's paid. Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. No questions asked.
Yeah.
And then paternity leave is 10 days.
10 days. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how does that work with the 10 days? Is that something that is taken immediately or can be taken immediately or has to be taken immediately?
It's individualized. So it's basically based on kind of the, a lot of it's based on the desires of the new parent. And then some of it's based on the needs of that unit.
Right.
But so, it really is mostly desires of the, of the, of the new parent.
Okay. So if dad's deployed to Afghanistan, you know, it's not necessarily that he's going to get to come home for 10 days.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, my husband, he took it before the baby was born. And it was good he did because just they were in, you know, every military group has their own training cycle. You know, when you're home and you're home in the base and you have to do your training before you go forward and you, and you deploy. So he took command, and then that night I went into labor with my third daughter.
Wow.
And so, like, he's I'm pushing the baby out, and his new command, his department heads are calling him going, sir, are you coming into work today? And he's like, no, I'm not. But like, but he went back to work the very next day.
Oh,
but again, it's all so dependent on what's going on with the command. You know, it's not like the woman who gives birth goes back right away. But for a guy, no, not necessarily. You know, it's really, it's not a medical condition to stay home with your wife. So, yeah. Carolyn, how long after a woman gives birth and she gets her 42 days and then she has to be back at work at that point, how long does she have to get back into weight standards and like pass her physical readiness exam?
So for the physical readiness test, she will be taking it 6 months after, or she'll be eligible, I should say, to take it.
Got it.
6 months after returning back to work.
Okay.
So if she...
So at the earliest, the baby would be... 7.5 months then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's two, you know, there's two cycles a year of, for at least in the Navy for the physical readiness test. So it just depends on whether or not you hit that, like literally at that 6 month mark.
Okay. Now, is there any kind of deployment deferment?
A year.
Okay. And that's longer than it used to be. I think I remember when I had my first baby, it was shorter than that. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't a year.
Yeah.
I want to say it was maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
So
any operational tour you're exempt from for a year.
That really helps with breastfeeding. I wonder if that was the catalyst for it because it changed.
I think it was. It sounds like it from my knowledge, yes.
Right.
There's very good data that childhood obesity is decreased with exclusive breastfeeding, and that there are maternal benefits as well. So maternal benefits are decrease in cardiovascular disease and a decrease in ovarian breast cancer. So that's why the DOD has been very much behind the push to encourage breastfeeding. Now, in some women, that's not the right choice. It's not like we say, like, you know,
do it or
you need to breastfeed. We just encourage it because there are benefits. And if it works well for the patient, then we definitely want to do the best we can to not interfere with that decision to be exclusively breastfeeding. And ideally, 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding is ideal. And then, and then obviously, that's when you're incorporating solid foods into the baby's diet. And so that's when it becomes, you know, you're not exclusively breastfeeding, but it's, you're still, that's part of the, a good part of the baby's diet.
Yeah, big part of the baby's diet. Exactly. Well, thanks, Lieutenant Commander Peacecheck, for joining us today. For more information about Lieutenant Commander Peacecheck, as well as information about any of our panelists, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Lieutenant Commander Peacecheck is going to be discussing with us how military women can start planning while they are pregnant for the childcare their little ones are going to need shortly after the birth. To join our club, visit our website, www.preggypals.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, Preggy Pals. We have a question for one of our experts. Sherry in Madison, Wisconsin writes, I'm a military family with three kids already, and we just moved to a new base, and I live 800 miles from my closest family. I'm pregnant with my fourth baby and concerned that I'll have a hard time managing everything because my husband's going to be deployed when the baby's born. My neighbor in military housing said that I should look into hiring a postpartum doula. I've never heard of that before. What does a postpartum doula do?
Hello, this is Rosemary Mason, certified postpartum doula and certified lactation counselor. Hi, Sherry. Thank you for your question, and congratulations on your fourth baby. Yes, there are two types of doulas. There's a birth doula who would attend with you to your birth, and there are also postpartum doulas. And a postpartum doula comes to your home and helps you with your babies. So either, you know, with questions about nursing or bathing, or just even now with a fourth one, how to kind of group everyone together and continue on doing what you've been doing, but now you're adding a fourth child to that. So doulas also are non-medical. We're not there to give any type of medical advice or give any type of medications. We're there to teach you and give support and information and resources in the community. There's also a little bit of a difference between a postpartum doula and then or a mother's helper. And probably in your situation, a mother's helper would probably be more satisfactory in the terms that you pretty much know about diapering and bathing and probably nursing or bottle feeding your babies, and you may need just more hands-on help. And that's where a mother's helper comes in, a little less than a nanny, but then she also can, you know, give you a break so you can be with your older children and help out around the house as well. Most postpartum doulas do not do heavy house cleaning or work in that sense. They, you know, make sure you're getting meals and do some light baby laundry and, you know, light things around the house. So those are some of the things that we do. Take care. Bye-bye.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, Twin Talks, for parents of multiples, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.